in a time where society is suffering from what many call the effects of a fatherless generation. We need a place where men can receive godly wisdom and guidance so they can take their rightful place as the leaders of their community. A place where men freely discuss men's issues from a biblical perspective. Because the world won't get better until we do.
As men, we don't commit for a few reasons. One, because we don't want to. Number two, because we don't have to. Or three, because we're afraid to.
Okay. We don't want to, we don't have to, and we're afraid to.
Join Pastor Tuck and Brother Corey in the Man Cave. And be challenged to be a better husband, father, or simply the man that God called you to be. Get ready for the Man Cave on the all-new My Church channel.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and welcome to the Man Cave. If this is your first time joining us, you're exactly where God wants you to be, because in the Man Cave, we help men get better, become better husbands, better fathers, better sons, better brothers, or just the men that God called them to be by simply teaching them how to apply the Word of God to their lives and providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where they can learn and grow. So I want to encourage you to share this broadcast with every brother you know, because we're here every second Thursday at 7:30 right here on the My Church channel. And joining me for tonight's discussion, as always, is my spiritual son and co-host of the Man Cave, Brother Corey Coleman. So let's welcome Brother Corey to the cave. Brother Corey, come on
in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor Tuck, what's up, man?
Man, let's what's happening, bro?
Man, I'm glad to be in the cave today.
Yes, sir.
I know we got a great topic for the men, and I'm excited.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, man, as I was praying about what we're going to talk about today, man, it's been a real emotional week for me, man. Been a real reflective week for me, man, because as you know, my birthday was Monday, man. Turned the speed limit, and for the past few weeks leading up to my birthday, man, I've been reflecting, man, on all the things that God has done in my life over the past 55 years, man. I've been here for a minute, man.
There you go.
I've literally spent the majority of my birthday, man, just sitting around thinking about the goodness of God. You know, everybody called, man, you know, what you doing, man, for your birthday? I'm like, nothing. I'm just literally just sitting here with the Lord, man, literally. I spent the whole day, man, just sitting with God, you know, and just thinking about, man, how I am currently experiencing the results of all the things that he has said and done in my life. You know, all the wisdom, man, he's given me, man. It's just been such an awesome season that we're in. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy, man, because it's been building up. And God is so strategic how he does stuff, because it's so amazing, because he started this even a couple weeks ago. I remember something the Holy Spirit dropped in me. And I remember telling my wife, I asked my wife for a particular picture that I remember of my dad. And I asked her to, if she knew where that picture was. And I ended up finding the picture. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit told me, find a picture of my dad at 55, mm-hmm. because everybody knows me and my dad almost look like twins. And so I went back and found a picture of my dad at 55, and it blew my mind when I looked at the picture of my dad at 55. And I didn't know why he was telling me to go do that, but when I looked at the picture of my dad at 55, God wanted me to see my dad's health condition at 55. Mm. And to see my health condition now, because I was on the same track. My dad died 15 years ago, and my dad died at 65 years old. And I was on the same health track 2 years ago. Mm. And, you know, a little over a year and a half ago, we turned that ship around.
That's good.
And so it's like, God's making me real mindful of everything that he's doing and showing me. Mm-hmm. And so it's just amazing. And it's just like I say, all of these things that he's been doing, it's been amazing, but he's been real strategic about it. And so on Saturday, we went to a baby shower, and we were talking with a young couple, and I was talking with the husband, and they were just talking to them about starting off their family, and I was talking to them about all of the different decisions and things that we did starting our family off. And God was just taking me back to all the things he showed me back early on starting our family. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there because both of our kids were with us at the baby shower, and so he was reminding me of all these things. And so I was overwhelmed, and you know, just even some of the conversations me and my daughters were having while we were at the baby shower. And then Sunday morning, I'm sitting there and I'm watching Reveal TV, which is Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell, which are my daughter Courtney's pastors. And they're on our channel at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And I'm watching the message that Pastor Kendall preached on Sunday morning. And he's preaching a message called Pattern Breakers. And it's talking about the enemy's schemes against your bloodline. And at that moment, you know, he's teaching this message. And I said, this is a message that every man who is the head of his household needs to hear this message. Mm. And I encourage you guys, if you're watching this, you know, you need to go. As soon as you finish watching this, go right here in the channel and to the Reveal TV sub-channel on demand and watch the message Pattern Breakers. Because I'm telling you, it is critical for your family that you watch this as the head of your household. But as I'm watching that message, I mean, I got the Holy Spirit just wrecked me, as the young folks say. He just wrecked me, because as I'm sitting there watching it, I'm listening to all of the wisdom that he's giving about how to stop this onslaught of the enemy against your family. And mm-hmm. I'm like, man, this is such strategic and targeted pinpoint information, and how accurate this is, and the wisdom. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it, and I'm going, but God, I never had a man of God tell me these things. I never had anybody to teach me this stuff. You did. And I just broke, because I'm like, how blessed was I, and how fortunate was I that God saw fit to tell me specifically, these are the things that I need you to do. Because these are the things that you're going to have to stop for your bloodline. Mm-hmm. Because I've got work for you to do. And I've got work for your family. And in order to make sure that these things transpire in the future, these are decisions you're going to have to make now.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to get into tonight. I want to talk about these things, because it's important that we as men recognize that there are certain decisions, there are certain battles you're going to have to fight now on behalf of your children and your children's children. And so we've really got to get into that. We got to understand that, because it's necessary for us to do these things. And so there were some key instructions that he gave me years ago that I'm walking in the harvest now. See, for the last 2 years prior to moving to North Carolina, I kept hearing God say to me, harvest season. And every day I get a greater revelation of what he meant by it. And that's why I try to take every opportunity I can to share my wisdom with you and all my spiritual sons and everyone who will listen to the things that God shows me over the years, because literally it is the result of some of the specific decisions that I made years ago that now that I'm walking in, the effects of those very decisions. So that's what kind of want to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
See, very early, God identified to me the strategy that the enemy had been employing against my family. But if I were willing, if I were not willing to make some key decisions, I couldn't have derailed his plans. See, what many of us don't understand is that the decisions that we're making, the battles we're fighting are not just about us, it's about our bloodline. Because we're waging war for our families. And as men, we must make the decision that it stops with me. So today we're stepping into a different level of awareness, because the Bible says we are not unaware of the enemy's schemes. Mm-hmm. So as the man of the house, you need to make a declaration. It must stop with me.
Yeah.
Or go and say that to yourself. It must stop with me.
Must stop.
Yeah. Brother Corey, have you ever noticed how some things just keep running in families?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it happens. I think it happens a lot more than we think. And I think, you know, even as you were saying that, saying what you had just said, I think that's why it's even more important, or just as important, for us to make sure not only that we're hearing from God, but also when he's telling us to do something, to be sure that we do, and we don't keep putting those things on the back burner for another day, or you know, or lessen, I guess, the significance of him placing that on our hearts. I think we all know or have a good grasp of the things that we need to shift in our lives for the next generation. I think that we rehearse those things and we face those challenges daily. And I think that, again, why we have the man cave here is to help men address these things head on. Not to sugarcoat them, not to gloss over them and make it not as significant or as important as it is, but really addressing it full on. So even as you were saying that, I could see some things in my life. Okay, I have to shift in some of these areas because I know that I don't want some of these challenges to then plague my son or my daughter. Or, you know, future grandkids as well. So absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because whether it's anger, you know, absentee father, addiction, divorce, financial struggles, poor health, you know, we got to realize that the battle is bigger than you. It's about your bloodline.
Yeah.
You know, because this is familial warfare.
Yeah.
You know, you got to recognize the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities.
Right.
You know, there are specific spiritual forces that have been set against regions, people, genetic bloodlines. You know, these are not just demons. These are actual spiritual forces that the enemy has put in place against your entire family. And that's why you see certain families. You know how you remember growing up, and you can probably remember that they're in whatever city you grew up in, that there were certain families that were known to be alcoholics.
Yeah.
Might have been your family. They were known to be womanizers. They were known to be drug addicts. They were known for this particular thing. This is something that is known in their family.
Yeah.
And we say things all the time and we take it for granted. We're like, yeah, diabetes runs in my family. We say high blood pressure runs in my family. These things run. And we say these things so commonly and don't recognize that these things are spiritual,
right,
as well as physical. There's a physical manifestation of something that is spiritual.
Yeah.
So this is not something that is just happening. This is familial warfare. And even though, and even their thing that sometimes what you think is personality is actually a pattern.
Pattern.
Sometimes what you call, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I just got a bad temper. No, that's a pattern.
Yeah.
Watch this. In the scriptures, y'all remember when God sent Abraham, told him, you know, get out your father's house, leave thy country. Go to the place I'm going to show you. Y'all remember he got up, he took his wife, Lot went with him, and he went to Egypt, right? Y'all remember he was in Egypt during the famine, and Pharaoh looked at Sarah and wanted Sarah. And Abraham lied and said that that was his sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then God blesses him with Isaac. Remember, now the next thing that happened, Isaac, during the famine, God tells him to stay there, right? Same thing happens. They want Isaac's wife. And what does Isaac do? He lies.
Lies.
Abraham never dealt with his lying problem. Isaac doesn't deal with his lying problem. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob's lying problem has become so bad that now they start calling Jacob the trickster. See, because this thing has passed down because Abraham never dealt with it. Isaac never dealt with it. And now it has gotten worse.
Right.
See, because it's not just who you are. It has become a pattern.
Becomes a pattern. Not being addressed.
See, it's how it's always been, but it's clearly what is not transformed will end up getting transferred.
Mm. Say that again.
See, what does not get transformed will end up getting transferred. And that's why we got to deal with this stuff. That's why you can't play with this stuff.
Yeah.
See, that porn addiction you have.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just said it.
Yeah.
And I didn't say it to shame you. I said it for you to understand that porn addiction that you got,
mm-hmm.
when your son ends up finding your magazine, you don't know what might end up. He may end up with a molestation issue.
Mm.
See, you don't think it's nothing because you got some magazines and you got some movies, but you mess around and let that porn spirit get in your son and he may end up molesting somebody and going to jail.
Right.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Wow.
See, because, that's heavy. Yeah, yeah. See, because Abraham just lied. Isaac just lied, but Jacob became known as a trickster.
Right.
He stole his brother's birthright.
Yeah.
See, it starts to get deep, man.
Yeah.
This thing, if it's not transformed, it'll get transferred. That's why the battles we fight are not just about us, it's about our bloodline. See, you think, oh, I just got a little high blood pressure, but your son may end up with a heart attack.
Yeah.
See, you just on insulin, but your son may end up with an amputation.
Yeah. And I'll say this too, as I just chime in real quick, a lot of these things, I feel like the enemy will try to tell us as well that we can't control it or it's bigger than us.
Yes.
When majority of the warfare and the majority of the shifting of that pattern starts with our tongue.
Yes.
If we change the way we speak on different things, if we start speaking life to different things, and casting down the negative things, that in itself could shift the entire pattern altogether. But I think a lot of times we get trapped into thinking, oh, well, you know, as you had said, my family's been dealing with this, or, you know, my daddy dealt with this, or my mama dealt with this. Well, it can shift just as simply as you speaking, the shift into fruition.
Absolutely. And that's why we've got to use the tools of the kingdom. We got to recognize that this is a spiritual battle. This is not a flesh battle.
Right.
See, you cannot overcome will with your will. See, that's why when people say, oh, it takes willpower. No, because your will is not strong. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
So we can't use our will to try to overcome this. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. We got to lean on the Lord. But see, yeah. You got to be transparent. You got to be honest with God. One thing I learned a lot of years ago, God can't help you with anything you lying about.
Right.
See, watch this. You can't say, God, I'm struggling with pornography. You're not struggling with pornography, God, because watch this. I've never seen anybody walk up to the register. Because you're not struggling. You walk right up to the register.
Boldly.
Willingly.
Right.
With whatever alcohol, drug, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. With whatever thing that you're doing, you're willingly doing it because you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because sin is pleasurable. Mm-hmm. So you're not struggling with it. It's not a struggle. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do is say, God, this is something that I enjoy doing. I need you to take the pleasure from me. Mm. I need you to help me overcome my flesh.
That's good.
I need you to help me be disciplined.
Yeah.
I need you to help me in that area.
Yeah.
But you got to be honest about it. Because as long as we keep trying to make it sound like, I'm struggling, Lord. No, you're not struggling. Mm-hmm. And then you got to put in some work in this. You got to put in some work. Because faith without works is dead. You can't say, I'm believing God to lose some weight while I'm eating a Big Mac. No.
Yeah.
See, we got to recognize that. See, the Bible speaks about generational impact. But it also speaks about mercy extending to 1,000 generations. Mm-hmm. So that means cycles can run, but so can blessings. Phew. But somebody in the family has to decide.
Yeah.
So you got to make a decision. It stops with me.
Right.
See, you got to make a decision. I don't care how many people in my family had a porn addiction. I don't care how many people was an alcoholic. I don't care how many people before me filed bankruptcy. I don't care how many people before me went to prison. I don't care how many before me got a divorce. I don't care how many people before me. It stops with me.
Stops.
We're not doing this no more. And the first step in that is doing an honest assessment of how did we get here. Mm-hmm. See, that was what I was sitting there thanking the Lord for the other day. Because when my wife and I first got married, and even before then, before we got married, God had started this work in me before me and my wife got married. Because I filed bankruptcy when I was 19 years old for the first time. First and last time. But when I filed bankruptcy, Corey, for less than $3,000. Hmm. At 19 years old, for less than $3,000. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But that's what poverty will do to you.
Yeah. Was that a part of that pattern?
Yes. Because everybody in my household, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my brother had already filed bankruptcy multiple times at that point. in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was presented to me as, this is what you do when you can't pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Because poverty was something that we didn't know. This was something that was a pattern. This was something that was on our family.
Yeah.
And so I had started working when I was not going to college. I started going to college. I had a scholarship. So now I had bills. One of the stipulations of my scholarship was I couldn't work. So now I got bills I can't pay. I ain't got nobody else who can pay them. I got people calling me. I got people harassing me. So the advice I got was file bankruptcy. But as I stood there in that courtroom, being psychologically undressed by that judge and those lawyers, it was the most humiliating. I mean, it made you feel like the least person there was on the planet. And something in me, I wasn't even saved at that point. But something in me, and it was the Holy Spirit working, said, never go through this again. And I just made a mental note right there. I said, no, I'm never going to allow anybody to treat me like this again.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the wisdom to know what to do about it. But I knew then I wasn't going to go through that again.
Yeah.
But then years later, God identified to me that there was a poverty spirit attached to my life. Because even after getting out of school, making money, I ended up in debt and all kinds of things and everything else. And God started showing me, this is the issue. And God started showing me the path out.
Yeah.
I never forget one day, what's my man's name? The Christian debt guy, Dave Ramsey. I remember one day I was at the bank doing a refinance on my mortgage. The Lord had literally given me, and if anybody's ever read any Dave Ramsey stuff, Dave Ramsey tells you how to get out of debt. He's got a snowball effect is what he calls it. You pay your bills down and everything. You start with the high interest rates and all, you know, cars first and do this and do that. God literally gave me that plan and I had never heard of Dave Ramsey. And so as I'm in here refinancing my house and I'm talking about getting some money out or whatever and this and that, and I'm talking to the lady at the bank and I'm talking about, you know, she's asking me what I want to do with the money and I'm sitting there. So I'm telling her and I'm explaining to her because God had literally given me this plan. And I'm explaining to her. She said, oh, you've read Dave Ramsey. I said, who? She said, Dave Ramsey. I said, who? She said, you don't know who Dave Ramsey is? I said, no. She said, literally, what you just described, that's Dave Ramsey's debt plan. I said, what are you talking about? She said, he's a Christian finance guy that he's got a book that talks about how to get out of debt. And what you described, that's literally what he wrote in his book. I said, the Lord gave me this. And she looked at me like I was crazy. I tell you no lie. I mean, word for word, literally. And so I went and got the book. And literally what God had told me was what was in the book.
Wow.
So once again, it has blown my mind. The fact, the stuff that God has given me directly.
Yeah.
That I never had to get from a man.
Yeah.
That's why I said the other day, he wrecked me. I almost fell in the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
The stuff that he showed me.
Yeah.
The fact that when I had my diabetic incident,
mm-hmm.
and almost died, and I said, never again. I'm not doing this. And I came back a year later in less than 3 months, cut my A1C in half. A year later, I was still off of insulin. And my doctor looked at me and said, you done cured diabetes.
Wow.
And they trying to figure out how.
Praise God.
Ain't nobody tell me how to do that but the Lord.
Yeah.
It's like, people don't understand. It's like, God said, and that has been the thing that most people don't understand. I don't feel like I'm special. But the key is obedience to his voice.
Obedience.
The one thing that I have always said in ministry, all these years, the one thing I've always preached is the key to success is hearing and obeying God.
Hearing and doing, yeah. Obedience, key to breakthrough.
It's two skills you must develop, is one, being able to hear the voice of God.
Right.
And two, obeying what you hear. Most people have never took the time to learn to hear his voice.
Yeah.
People say, well, I don't know how to hear God's voice. Sure you do. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
So if you're one of his, then you know his voice.
Right.
Are you listening for it? The key is you've not spent enough time with him to hear it.
Are you listening for it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're his, you know his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question is, are you listening?
Are you listening? Or are you listening and just ignoring?
Exactly. See, because sometimes we don't listen because we don't want to hear what he says.
Yeah.
We scared he's going to tell us something we don't want to hear.
Right.
He might tell me I got to give up something. He might tell me I got to stop something. He might tell me, I don't know if I want to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to hear whatever he tell me.
Yeah. I heard a lady say the other day, you're going to either learn, by revelation or tribulation.
Woo, Jesus. That'll tweet all day.
You choose. It's either going to be by revelation or tribulation.
All day.
But you're going to have to choose which one. Which one is it going to be? That's powerful.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
And that's why before we break patterns, we have to examine ourselves. We got to ask God, show me me.
Show me me.
Show me what it is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith.
Mm.
See, but we don't like self-examination. See, like men, we like fixing things outside of us. But pattern breaking starts with asking, how did I get here?
Right.
Who modeled this behavior for me? Mm-hmm. What pain shaped this reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I first learn to cope this way? Brother Corey, why do you think honest self-assessment is so difficult for men?
I think you just said it. I think we are used to working on things on the outside versus working on us. I think seeing ourselves, I think it's hard for us to see ourselves less than what we think of ourselves.
I think you're exactly right. I think it's pride, it's fear. Pride. It's ego. is that avoidance. And that's why we always like that I'm good mentality. Mm-hmm. Somebody asks you how you doing, I'm good. Because we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to deal with the fact that something's actually wrong with me. That I'm actually broken. That my daddy not being here, that actually left a wound. That somebody doing something to me actually left a wound. That there's something actually not fully formed.
Right. And if I allow you to know what that weakness is or where that blemish is, then that could be used against me.
But if I'm going to lead,
then you have access to hurt me at that point.
Yes. But if I'm going to lead and if I'm going to cover somebody, if I'm going to, for somebody else's sake, I got to deal with that.
Right.
And that was my motivation. My motivation was I didn't want my children having to go through the things that I've been through.
Right.
See, because I recognized that I had a lot of mess in here.
Yeah.
I was an angry dude. I was a violent dude. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things was bad combinations. I mean, I was a guy. I would punch you in your face just as soon as looking at you. And the crazy thing, it was like, I would be laughing and joking just like ain't nothing happened.
Bow.
But just like that, it would turn just like that.
You said 0 to 100.
0 to 100. Just like that. Man, I almost fought my best friend one night on Broad Street in Richmond. Mm. And I'm talking my best friend from 1 year old. Mm-hmm. Behind some alcohol, man. I mean, because I would get the wrong alcohol in my system. And, buddy, that would short and diffuse to nothing. Like I said, you didn't even have the 15 seconds when you pulled the pin on the grenade, buddy. That bad boy was defective at that point. You pull the pin, buddy, she might go off in your hand. And so, like I said, these were issues. And I never wanted my kids, man. I have literally almost killed two people with my bare hands before. Literally. I done almost shot somebody before. I'm like, I've almost gone to jail. It's like, bro, do you recognize? And I was like, I do not want my children going down these roads. And so I was like, I have to recognize how did I get into this place?
Yeah.
Because I need to make sure, I need to do an assessment. And that was the thing. When I started talking to God, I'm like, show me me. Show me what's wrong with me. And nobody told me to do this. I just said, if I'm going to bring a life into this world that I'm responsible for, I don't want them in the peril that I went through. Because I survived, but I survived on my own. Mm-hmm. And I know how tough I am. But I don't know if they're gonna be able to make it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be the one responsible for that. So I need to make sure that they don't end up in that position. And so God told me, God said, well, go back. And God started showing me. These were the environments you were formed in. Mm-hmm. God said, these were the examples you had. And so that's why you thought this behavior was normal. Mm-hmm. So you got to watch what examples they exposed to. God said, you can't allow them to be exposed to this thinking that this is normal. You can't allow them to see these things thinking that this is normal. You can't allow them to hear this. You can't allow them to see that. You can't allow them to take these things in. You can't allow these things to happen around them.
Yeah.
So I had to make some tough decisions.
Yeah.
See, because all of these things happen.
Yeah.
See, some of us learn survival instead of healing. We learn to shut down. We learn to tough it out. We learn to drink it away. We learn to work it off. We learn to ignore it. Mm-hmm. But in the Lord, it doesn't remove it. It delays it until your son wears it.
Yeah.
Until your daughter carries it.
Right.
Because what we don't deal with, we pass on. Mm-hmm. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 said, there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. See, that didn't happen overnight. That happened because something wasn't passed down.
Right.
See, the anger we don't confront, your son will normalize. The insecurity you don't heal, your daughter will internalize. The addiction you excuse, your grandchildren will inherit. See, we got to recognize that's why it's so important for us to wage war and say that it stops here.
Yeah.
Because you never want them dealing with stuff that you had. Court, talk about the moment that a man realizes I'm becoming what I said I'd never be. You know that guy that says, I ain't gonna never be like my daddy.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and you that guy.
Yeah, yeah. It happens when you have kids. It happens when you have kids. Because then you see you have a real time flash in your mind of when you became what you've become.
Yeah, because I see it
you
all
get
the time.
You get a real time glimpse at when that first seed was sown into your own life.
Haven't you seen them guys, man, that said, man, I ain't gonna never be that dude, man, that abandoned my kids. And then you see that guy. Hey, man, when last time you went to see your son? Man, I don't know when I seen that joke.
Right. Right.
And you just looking at him like.
Yeah. You just said you weren't going to do this. Yeah.
You don't even see it, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't going to never be no alcoholic like my daddy.
Yeah. And I think all of that starts, based on kind of what we just talked about, it all starts with not addressing the root to a lot of the issues. A lot of times we say, hey, I'm not going to be an alcoholic like my dad. And you end up falling into it without even realizing it.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't just an alcoholic because he wanted to be an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic because he wasn't able to internally process and deal with stressful situations.
Yeah. And because there was a principality that was pushing against him, that unseen force that was coming against him, that his dad never dealt with.
Exactly.
So it was passed down to him. And so now the principality is stronger and it's fighting you now.
Right.
And you don't even realize it. But because you don't fight it, now it's going to be stronger when it's fighting against your child. Right. And that's why you got to do the work.
Right.
You got to get in the word. You got to lean on the Holy Spirit. You got to get in prayer. Mm-hmm. And you got to pray against the schemes that are coming against your family.
Yeah. And that's why also it's important to ask God and pray to God and say, you know what, God, search me. What's in me that should not be there? Because a lot of times, a lot of these things sit there and we've normalized it.
Yes.
We've normalized it. So we don't even consider some of it issues. Until it's a mountain of an issue that now we're trying to tear down a whole mountain that we could have addressed when it was a molehill.
You exactly right. We got to stop living with what God called us to fight. See, because some of us have made peace with dysfunction.
Right.
That's exactly it. We have normalized it. We have made peace with dysfunction. We say that's just my temper.
Yeah.
That's just
it's how normal. It's normal to finish a whole bottle of liquor.
Oh yeah. That's just how being in my family.
It's normal to smoke cigarettes.
That's just how the men in my family are. That's
weed
just what
is
we
normal.
Do.
It comes from the earth.
That's just what we do.
Yeah. Everybody watch porn.
I just don't talk about my feelings.
Yeah.
But here it is. You are not called to manage dysfunction. You are called to wage war against it. See, because that same thing Corey's talking about. In my family, we grew up, and I know from every bit of 9, 10 years old, I've always heard that the Tuckers run women. That's something that I have heard. It was burned in my head. It was burned in my head that I was supposed to be a womanizer. It was burned in me. It was burned in my eye gates that I was supposed to abuse alcohol and I was supposed to run women. Those were two things I was supposed to be good at. And trust me, I was good at them.
I was getting to come with it.
Oh. I did exactly what I was trained to do.
Yeah.
I was a champion, as Paul said, I was chief.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing, because exactly that. I'm talking, I took my first drink of alcohol when I was 7 years old. And like you said, it was normal. My daddy was a part of a motorcycle club. And, you know, all of my uncles was in the motorcycle club. And so every New Year's Eve, they would have a big dance that they would host. You know, people, they would have a club, that a big facility that they would have this big party at, DJ and everything, you know, and so grown folk come drunk, get drunk and dance and have a good time on New Year's Eve. And so they were running the thing so the wives wouldn't go. And so, you know, because the husbands are working the party. Mm-hmm. And so, but in order to keep the husbands in check, the wives would make the husbands take the kids. Okay? So in order for them to babysit us, they would put all of us in a booth and set a pint of Wild Irish Rose in front of each one of us. So now, after us nursing on a pint of Wild Irish Rose, 7, 8 years old, where you think we at?
Sleep.
Sleep.
Down for the count?
Down for the count. But that's literally, that was my introduction to alcohol. But that's literally how we, that's dysfunction. How dysfunctional.
Yeah.
But this is the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're walking in that and you normalize it, when you see people in your family and they got two families and everybody know it.
Yeah.
It's normalized. But like I said, but if you don't kill it, it's coming for the next ones. Mm-hmm. But like I told you, God told me, you got to see, where did this come from? How did you get here? And now, what do you have to do? I had to make some hard choices. Mm-hmm. God said, you can't go to the family reunion. Because your kids can't be exposed to that. Mm-hmm. That was an unpopular decision. Everybody, like, oh, y'all acting funny. You won't bring the kids around. No, my kids can't see that behavior and think that's normal. Mm-hmm. Because I have to wage war for my family. Because this has to stop here. I have to draw the line in the sand. Nope, can't go any further. Well, what about my family? If they want to see my, kids, they can come here. Because mm-hmm. alcohol don't exist in my house. Cursing don't exist in my house. Infidelity don't exist in my house. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Nobody comes. So my kids have a very, very small relationship. They have a very small relationship.
Yeah.
With my family, my extended family. That's the price that I have to pay for my kids to be free. It's worth it.
Worth it.
Because Jesus said, who are my mother and brother but those who do the will of my father? Mm-hmm. See, we don't understand. See, we would rather have friendship with the world and be enemies of God.
Mm.
See, these are the things we have to understand. See, we were called to wage war against it. See, these are curses that we keep calling curses, but we're in line with them. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse. The curse is legally broken. But cycles continue where truth is not applied. Whew. Oh, you better hear what I just said. The curse is legally broken. So Satan does not have a right to hold you in bondage. He does not have a right to hold your family in bondage, but the cycle will continue if you don't apply truth. See, so you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. So you already have victory. You're fighting from a victorious position. So all the fight is simply just applying the truth.
You're preaching.
Yeah. I know better. So if you know better, you got to do better. Because if you don't do what you know, you are operating in delusion. And when you're operating in delusion, Satan got you. And that's why I told you it's so important. You got to obey the Father even when it's unpopular. I told you, I don't care what people say. I don't care if they like it or not. See, people used to always be like, what you mean you're going to homeschool your kids? Yeah. Do you know how many people questioned us when we said we were homeschooling our kids? Just about everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody said we was crazy. Everybody like, are they going to be socially awkward? Are they going to be able to go to college? What do you mean you're homeschooling your kids? Oh, I can't believe you're doing that. What's the problem? What's wrong with the public schools? This and that. Are they going to be successful? Bop, bop, bop. Both of my kids had associate's degrees before they graduated from high school and graduated at the top of their community college classes.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them got full engineering degrees in college. Both of them graduated at the top of their engineering classes. My oldest got a master's degree in architecture. And my youngest will have a master's degree in AI and data science in May. And both of them have gotten just about straight A's all the way through everything. And that was doing what the Lord told me to do.
Yeah.
But people's like, huh, I don't know what you're doing. No, that's because when the Lord says something, I do what he tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care whether or not it's popular or not. Because I don't confer with men.
Yeah.
See, the problem is you want somebody else to validate you.
Mm-hmm.
How they gonna validate you and they ain't make you?
Yeah.
See, the only person who can validate your parking is the person who issued that parking pass.
Yeah.
So you can't validate me if you didn't issue me in the first place. You didn't create me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need your validation.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to understand what obedience is about, even when it's unpopular. When God told Gideon to tear down his father's altar, it was a family tradition. It was normalized. It was accepted. But it was wrong.
Pattern.
So that was a very unpopular thing. Yeah. And sometimes God will tell you to tear down something that's been in your family for generations.
Mm.
So obedience is always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's often confrontational. Some folk will have a problem with the things that God tell you to do. But the question is, are you going to obey men or are you going to obey God? Corey, why do you think men struggle with obeying God when it costs them their reputation or their comfort?
Because we want to be seen. I guess we're more concerned, I guess, with how we're viewed versus how God views us.
Their reputation.
Their reputation. That pride. We'd rather have your approval in this moment, and we ignore God's approval.
Man, and that's crazy.
But it goes back to where do we place that weight? You know, do we give more weight to our family and their opinions than God? Nah.
And that's where it has to come down to. You got to recognize this. And of course, God has to be the arbiter. God has to be the ultimate. But even beyond that, but on top of that, you got to place your family above the value of the family. So your household has to come before your family.
Yeah.
Because you're doing this for your household. Mm-hmm. You're doing this. You're waging war for your household. That's why Jacob said, "As for me and my house."
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he had the rest of his family was there. He was talking to.
Yeah.
His uncles, his aunts. His cousins, yeah. his daddy, his granddad, all of them was in the midst when he said this. He said, but that's for me and my house. That's for me, my wife, and my kids. This is what we doing. Right. The rest of y'all can do what y'all want to do.
Right. And at the moment, you're not going to win any popularity contest.
No.
It's not going to be a popular decision. You're not always going to be liked, you know, for standing on what you stand on and having the belief and you choosing to go Godward with those situations. It's not going to be a popular thing. Everybody's not going to understand it. They're not going to agree. And that's okay. And that's okay. Because what's going to happen is they're going to see the harvest, you know, from those decisions. They're going to see later, okay, you know what, this, I didn't understand why he did that. Then now I see why he did that. Now I see why she moved this way, or, you know, he decided to do this with his kids, or I see why he decided not to enter into these type of environments. I see now why he didn't do that. I see now why he decided to make that move as far as his health is concerned. I see now why he chose to stop drinking. I see now why he chose to stop doing this and stop doing that. I see now why he decided to put some of his money away. Instead of spending it all going out and having fun. I see now why, you know, these things happen. And yeah.
And that's
it's not gonna be popular.
You know, and that's the thing, man. It's so important for us to recognize. Because yeah. Some of you need to cut off certain relationships. You need to change financial habits. You may need to get counseling. You need to publicly surrender to Christ. You might need to apologize to your children. You may need to admit you're wrong. And that's war. It's not always glorious, but it's holy.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. See, you got to recognize, in order to wage war for your family, you got to conduct spiritual inventory. You know, you got to first start asking what patterns are repeating.
Mm-hmm.
and where did they start?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what role have I played? Secondly, you gotta get accountability. Because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Because you can't break cycles in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that's not going to happen. You're not going to stop watching porn sitting at the computer by yourself. You need to let somebody else have your password. Somebody can go and check your search history. Somebody need to keep you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Man, let me see your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to replace the pattern. Don't just remove anger. Replace it with discipline and prayer. Don't just quit addiction. Replace it with discipline and structure.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number four, lead your home spiritually. Pray with your family. Open the word. Model repentance. Show them a different direction than what you've been going in. Man, this is bigger than you. You fighting for your son's identity, your daughter's security, your wife's covering, your grandchildren's freedom. The Bible says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. So your obedience today comes with their stability tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
See, I told you, I just been reflecting on all the things that God has done. I told you, he's been showing me the fruit of all these different decisions I made. I mean, I made a decision years ago to prioritize my family over my career. Because God had given me an opportunity to move even before I got saved and to chase after a career. But I said, no, my family comes first. And when I honored that, God honored me. And man, I remember that year, he tripled my salary that year. Just by me making that one decision. He tripled my salary. And then I went into ministry and obeyed him. And then he told me to leave my job. And I'm like, but he told me to trust him. And he would take care of me. And God has taken care of me ever since. And I ain't worked a secular job in over 20 years. He told me to take my kids out of school. And I already told you what happened with my kids. And just modeling out, covering them, keeping their eye gates and their ear gates covered, and raising them up in the word and watching the women of God that they are now, both of them walking with the Lord, serving the Lord, both of them knowing that they got calls on their life. And I'm sitting back watching that now.
Mm-hmm.
The changes he's made told me to make in my health. And I'm sitting there talking to them the other day, and both of them now, they're getting in the gym and they're doing it. And I'm sitting there watching them. I'm like, I see that the changes I've made have inspired them to make changes.
That's good.
And I'm like, this is breaking something over my lives and over my bloodline of health challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is amazing to me.
Yeah.
How this is just continuing. The financial struggles.
Yeah.
Both of them have learned to be better stewards. They even talking about when they have children, raising their children the same way. They know, no, we're not sending our kids to public school. These are things that they have picked up, and they know that these are the things they want. They want marriages that look like my wife and I's marriage. It's like the patterns have been set because I made a decision. These things are stopping here.
Yeah.
Because it stops with me. But you got to identify the enemy's attack against your family. You got to identify Lord, search me out. Show me what the enemy scheme is against me. Show me the patterns. And then show me what I need to do to war against it. And then you got to put in the work. But I need every man watching to say it again. It stops with me.
Stops with me.
The anger stops with me. The addiction stops with me. The silence stops with me. The absence stops with me. The compromise stops with me. Corey, you got anything you want to say to the brothers?
No, that's good. I think you said it all right there. It stops with me. I think we have to make that declaration and stand on it. And, you know, if it's something that you're struggling with, surround yourself with some brothers that can hold you accountable. But again, acknowledge it, confess it. Let's figure out the tools we need to move from it and keep our next generation in mind. Keep our family in mind that their lives depend on it. And dependent on us, and depends on us making these difficult decisions now. But amen. I think that was great.
Let us pray. Father, raise up men who are willing to work hard, to do the hard work. Men who examine themselves honestly, who confront what they have once tolerated, who will obey you even when it costs them comfort. Let the cycles be broken. Let legacies be restored. And let it stop with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Well, fellas, I pray this word has blessed you. Pray you've been blessed by this episode of The Man Cave. And if you've been blessed by this episode or any of the programming here on the My Church channel or My Church Virtual Ministries, then and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can do so by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $, My Church Channel, or go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. But whatever you do, know that your gifts are going to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, because God has given us a mandate to make sure that the word of God is available on every platform there is. We're on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. We're on all of your mobile apps. But we just want to make sure that you've got the tools available to grow and mature and to become who God has called you to become. We've got all kinds of ministries available. We've got 3 different opportunities for worship on Sunday morning. We've got Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. We've got the Leadership Academy. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got Women of Worth. We've got the Man Cave, Marriage Seer Training, The Heart of the Pastor. And of course, we've even got My Church Laughs. So we've got all kinds of content available for you to help you learn and grow. So if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, sow a seed. But whatever you do, make sure you share this message with somebody you know who needs it. And if you're a man, make sure you go right now, within the next couple of days, this next week, make sure you go to the Reveal TV subchannel and make sure you check out that message called Pattern Breakers. I'm telling you, it's going to equip you to do exactly what we're talking about today and wage war for your family, because it stops with you. But God bless you. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Brother Corey. And we'll see you on next time. In the cave. Make sure you come back and check us out soon. We love you. God bless you. Peace.
Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
We are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level. We are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted. Chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
The scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.